I'm Matt Pangrack, and this is the last Best Of show of the week. If you've listened to the previous two Best Of shows this week, wow, as Mark Jeffries would say, those are some openings, some vintage openings to BTLs from the past. Today we have another gem coming to you from May 24th, 2016. Jeff Creek goes off in this one. Talks about information, talks about weekend anglers, talks about saltwater fishing, all sorts of topics covered by Jeff Creek. Obviously, our thoughts are with the squirrel. He's been posting some social media pics with a bedrobe on, some back issues hampering him, so wishing him a speedy recovery. But he was in rare form on May 24th, 2016. It's Bass Talk Live's final Best Of show of the week. Enjoy. Good morning, everybody, and welcome once again to BTL. Yes, we are back, where we're going to talk bass fishing and anything else that Matt and I want to talk about. Dude, it's been a while. You've been on the road. A lot of stuff going on. We have a lot of stuff to talk about, but good show today. You are headed to Lake Texoma. Is it next week?
It's after. This is a holiday weekend, and then there's another week and then Texoma. So about a week and a half away, and then we're officially past the midway point in both the Tour and the Elite Series season.
All right. We're going to talk about some of the things that have taken place over the past events on the Elite Series. Got to talk about the Open, too. An Elite Series guy gets it done.
Oh, of course you want to talk about
Tennessee.
The Open.
Well, dude, I'm telling you, the dynamics, people are sick of me talking about it, but the realization of how much the home field advantage comes into play anymore, of which we're actually going to talk to a guy that has an enormous amount of experience on Lake Texoma.
But yeah, David Mullen's getting it done in the final Southern Open Douglas Lake. I think a Tennessee guy winning in Tennessee and having a lot of success on that lake prior to the victory. But like I was telling you off air after he won, the guy, it's good to see David Mullen's win. I don't know him that well. Yeah. I know he crushes your hand with his handshake, but he's a guy who puts his head down and works hard and has been rather consistent over his couple years on the Elite Series, so it's good to see him put a little coin in his pocket. Actually, they just give him a boat now, don't they? They get a boat and a little bit of cash.
Yeah,
but I think
so.
You got to deal with selling the boat.
I think so. All right, but check this out. All right, this is a quote from Bassmaster.com from him. And he says, every time I have a good finish here, I never catch them off the same place twice, 2 days in a row. I think the biggest key to fishing Douglas Lake, having enough places where you know where they go, where you know where they live, so you can keep moving and have a good rotation. So the places I've fished today, I haven't fished all week. I just ran history.
Well, that would support your theory that the home lake advantage has never been more in play.
It's massive. Mm-hmm. It's massive. All right, let's talk about the initials. KVD getting it done at Toledo Bend. No surprise there. There was a massive crankbait bite. He pretty much threw it all week long, along with a few other things dashed in there.
He's sneaky with the hair jig. Kevin Van Dam likes to give a lot of credit to the crankbait, which did the damage. You could see it on live.
Yeah.
But he's sneaky with that hair jig. That's a bait he doesn't talk about.
I'm really curious how many people went out and bought hair jigs after that.
Well, I think that's kind of become exposed a lot, especially kind of starting, a lot of guys have been throwing it for a long time, but Chickamauga, the one that Jacob Wheeler won, the hair jig, obviously he won on it, and a lot of guys saw it, and then we've seen it on Kentucky Lake, and we've seen it on some of the other. But if you look at, you walk down the, we're at the every single stop, so we're walking. You walk down the boats and look at all the boats when there's a offshore bite or a ledge bite on one of those lakes, you'd be shocked at how many big furry rabbit-looking things are on the front deck.
Yeah.
That and the giant spoon. Everybody had a hair jig, a giant spoon, and a 10XD.
That's been a while. The spoon's been around
for a while. Yeah, but I'm just saying, it just, that seemed, but Van Dam, wire to wire, No doubt about it. Big fish every day. And here's the crazy thing, Mark. You were out. You were covering the Elite Series on location during what you would call Van Damme's heyday.
Yes.
The back-to-back-to-back-to-back, I think, Anglers of the Year.
Yeah.
That, like, 08 to 0 or 07 to 2011.
Yep.
Well, in the bass fishing media world and over at Bassmaster and those guys, there's a lot of turnover, a lot of guys who were out there then who aren't out there now, and we're standing around in the media trailer.
Probably Steve Wright and Steve Bowman.
Right, and around. A couple of the photographers, but the rest of the guys in the media trailer are sitting there talking, and guys who work for Bassmaster go, oh, I'm so excited. I get to cover a Kevin Van Damme victory. This is, you know, it's always been, you know, I've always wanted to do that, and I'm sitting there going, dude, you be careful what you wish for, because you might be covering a lot more of him if he gets on a little bit of a streak. But I was, I felt old. I felt old. I was the only one who'd been like, this is old hat.
Yeah.
This is how Kevin does it. Man, he clicked right back in. I mean, it's been 6 years since his last win, the 2011 Bassmaster Classic. He's had a couple other top fives.
Yeah.
But really, his first real contention to win, he wins wire to wire, and man, it just clicked right back in. The old Kevin Van Damme, he knows the routine.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He's the man. He's still the man. Going to be the man, too. So, no surprise there what he did based upon what the conditions were like at Toledo Bend. And there's not too many people in the free world that are much better than him when it comes to that type of condition.
Did you see him stick that big number 2X Mustad through his hand?
Yeah.
He's the only guy I know who could have a hook. I mean, that's like a that's like a Jeff Creed offshore hook.
Oh, which reminds me. All right, and we're going to get to Jeff Crete live via Skype here just in a few minutes. It got me thinking because, you know, we could talk about anything. Did you see where Tony, do you know who Tony Gwynn is? Name ring a bell?
Was he the
baseball player?
He played for the
San Diego Padres for years. All right, one of the greatest hitters of all time. His family is suing the tobacco company because they are saying that tobacco caused or was a factor in his passing. Well, no duh. It's been proven, blah, 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 and all that. But you know what? You choose. So is Van Damme going to come back and sue the hook company because that hook
that sponsors
was
him.
Too sharp? That sponsors it? I mean, come on, people. Jeez.
Then over on the FLW Tour, a touch on that. A good friend of the program, Jeff Sprague. Remember, 2 years ago in his rookie tour, we did we did a veteran, a guy who's been around for a while, and a rookie. And it was Jeff Sprague. And then we had him on earlier this year talking about keeping the Keystone Light deal.
Yeah.
Guy's catching him. He's leading. He's also buddies with Jeff Crete.
Yeah.
We'll ask him about that. Leading the FLW Tour Angler of the Year race.
That's pretty cool.
Andy Morgan having a decent year. Brian Thrift, you remember those guys are on, I think, 8 and 9 year top 10 finishes streak. Brian Thrift's my end. Brian Thrift has had a very pedestrian year by his standards. I think he's still up in the mix to make the cup and stuff, but going all over the place, and Jeff Sprague getting it done over on the FLW Tour.
No doubt. All right, I'm not trying to bring up leftovers. I just do want to mention it. The appeal of Luke Clausen on the Elite Series was denied by Bass. The only point that I want to make on that, it seems like, and you tell me because you're Mr. Social Media, has there been any flames after the smoke based upon, you know, public comment and some of the things that were discussed about that whole situation? Or is it just one of those deals where, hey, people have moved on. We all know what's going on. We all know what the situation is. They denied it. He's got to keep fishing. We go on down the road and things are the way they are.
It's kind of an interesting deal with that. I think the latter is more of the truth. But you have to remember, Luke Clausen has a lot of history with Bass, going back to the 06 Classic and then not defending his title, not opting to fish on the Elite Series, going over to FLW and coming back. But when that happened, Mark, that was a decade ago. And a lot of people who are very present on social media are a younger generation.
Yes.
They don't really remember a decade ago.
Yeah.
So a lot of the older people who aren't on there, I think that kind of has a deal that hasn't really blown up on social media. He did come out. I thought it was very interesting. It is in this age of social media. His statement and all that stuff is just on his Facebook page.
Yeah.
I guess before that, you'd call a media person and say, hey, I want to make a statement, or you'd put out a press release statement. Now you can just get on there late at night, type something up, and hit send, and there's your There's your official statement.
Yeah. Yeah. So. You know, we'll get Creek's take. And this whole information thing, I'd like to get his take on the information thing, because we did find out that, yes, that rule is in place where they cannot obtain any information from the Bassmaster website while the competition is taking place. So it's kind of interesting, man.
Then we'll cover the last basis. We've gone BSS. We've gone FLW. Matt Herron, first time since an FLW series win in, I believe, 2007.
At what lake?
What lake did he win at in 2007? Was it Wheeler?
No, I'm talking about this year's TTPC.
Oh, anyway, he won 9 years ago. He's had a bunch. He's fishing really good. Wins the Toyota Texas Bass Classic at Ray Roberts.
Okay, just checking.
For an hour, I had it out there. It's been on Conroe forever. Then they moved it to Fork the last 2 years. I had a brain fart and had Herron winning on Conroe. Ooh, I changed it. Big deal.
I'm just...
Anyway,
sure
Ray Roberts
dialed in there,
dropping the water out of it. Tough practice. A lot of weather system come through. Matt Herron picks up a flipping stick, flips the salt cedars and the hardwood and does his thing, wins $100,000, a boat. And it's kind of like a bonus because all these guys are fishing on the tour and then they go to the TTBC. They get to listen to music. They have
nice
beer backstage for them. It's the top guys in the sport based on 2015, and Matt Herron walks out with a crystal cup.
Cool trophy. I like that
really
trophy.
Cool trophy, but I mean, heck, anybody who can beat Keith Combs in that tournament, more power to him.
Yeah. But it wasn't on Conroe, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, it's in Texas. Still in Texas. Keith Combs rules Texas, but great derby for Matt Herron. Good to see him get the win after a strong start on the Elite Series.
All right. Sounds like we're caught up a little bit. I'm sure we missed a few things, but we want to move on toward what's going to take place here in about 10 days. The Elite Stop on Lake Texoma Bass Fest, a somewhat unique format where they fish 2 days. They take a day off. They educate the people. They interact. They give seminars.
And before we get into this, I remember when this all happened, we were not overly optimistic about the functionality and how well Bass Fest would go off. This is three. The first one was on Chickamauga. The last one was on Kentucky Lake. And this one's going to be on Texoma. But if the last two were any indication, and I think you're going to pull people from Oklahoma, you're going to pull people from the Dallas Metroplex area.
Yeah.
Bass Fest rocks.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I agree. All right. You ready to bring him in? We have him live via Skype. Jeff, how you doing, man?
Good. What's up?
Just trying to catch up a little bit. It's been a while since we've done a show, but we appreciate you taking time out. You heard me. Hopefully you heard me read the comments from Mr. Mullins about his win on the Open there on a body of water that he was very, very, very familiar with. You are very familiar with Lake Texoma, but things have changed, haven't they?
The lake is a lot different than it used to be back when I used to fish it. I have a lot of history there. I won a Bassmaster there. I've won a lot of tournaments there. But the lake, the whole dynamics of the lake have really changed. You know, I was really excited about it, but I'm not excited about the conditions right now, you know.
All right, talk a little bit about the conditions. I know we have had a ton of rain in Oklahoma. Down in the southern part of Oklahoma, the lake level and the characteristics and the dynamics that the lake has been through the last 2 years, how much is that going to have an effect on if it was normal? If it was normal, now with the conditions that are present, how much has that changed?
Well, I mean, you know, for a guy like me, I would like the water around 6:15 and I'd like it, you know, I'd like it clear. And what you have now is the water's 6:18 and a half. We've had rain the last 2 days. I mean, huge thunderstorms this morning and yesterday. You know, I lose a big advantage. You know, the advantage I do have is that if I'm out there fishing and I catch one, I know what else looks like it across the lake, or I know the things that look like it. But as far as the little sneaky things that I know, and brush piles and stump fields and stuff like that, probably not going to be a player. You know, I mean, the tournament could be won by a guy that's never seen the lake. He might win it on a frog or something, you know. So, I mean, really, the lake is muddy right now, man.
Yeah, I made a trip down south and actually had to go across. And then I also flew from Dallas to Oklahoma City, and it was bluebird skies that day, and you could see it. It's just a weird, weird color. It's not a color that you're used to seeing, especially in certain areas of the lake.
Yeah, I mean, it's stained all the way to Eisenhower, to all that stuff. I mean, that's, you know, because they're pulling the lake so hard, it's just sucking that mud throughout the whole entire lake.
Yeah. Let's talk about, you know, I mentioned in that story about Mullins, he fished areas that he did not fish at all during the previous week. It, because of what the lake is going through, and I'm talking about Lake Texoma right now, because of the lake characteristics, are there areas in this lake that you could actually get to that normally don't see any pressure whatsoever?
Well, the water's high enough where sure you can run a long way up some of the rivers and things like that if you want to, but you know, typically, you know, the water was so low for so long that a lot of those areas, you know, you may have a small population of resident fish, but I don't, you know, it's not something that I will do. You know, I used to run all the way to the Cumberland dikes and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't know. I don't, you know, I say that you never know with these guys, man. I mean, they do crazy stuff. There'll be somebody run farther than I ever have. And I've been fishing the lake for 35 years. But, you know, that probably won't be the way I fish it.
Yeah.
A lot of times we talk to the guys who have the home lake advantage, and they always point out whether they're poor mouthing or not. Oh, I haven't fished that lake in so long because I'm on tour, I'm traveling around. I mean, how long would you say it's been since you've been? I mean, I've seen you dialed in on a lake, on Lake Murray. It's impressive. Yeah. You're like, dude, I told you 5 feet to the left, there's a big rock down there. You're casting into nothing. You cast five feet to the left, bam. How long has it been since you would consider yourself been dialed in on Texoma?
Oh, it's been a while. You know, I fished quite a few winter tournaments over there and you know, I've done pretty well over there. But, you know, I went over there quite a bit in the off limits, but I'll be honest with you, I probably didn't make 15 or 20 throws before it went off limits. You know, I wasn't over there to fish. You know, it still feels like home, though. You know, I mean, I was thinking, you know, man, it's been so long since I've been here. And then I got out there kind of running around. And I was like, you know, you start seeing things like, oh, man, I remember in a tournament I caught a 5-pounder off of that deal. And then I'm running and I'm like, man, I know more stuff than I remember I know. You know, hopefully it'll all click, man.
How important is familiarity? How important is familiarity? Just having a warm, fuzzy feeling before the tournament starts?
I think it's huge. I mean, it's like I said, you know, the deal is, you know, let's say I have a horrible practice and I'm not catching them and, you know, and I pull in on something and catch something off of it. I know, you know, let's say I pull on a point or something and catch a 3-pounder. Well, immediately my brain will click and I know where 25 more places like that are. And that's the benefit of having local knowledge a lot of times, is just being able to run other stuff that you know is identical, where the other guy doesn't know that 3 miles around the corner there's another point exactly like the one he caught him off of, you know?
Wow. All right. An interesting aspect of being close to the lake where the event is taking place, the launches over on the Texas side, their headquarters is on the Oklahoma side at the casino. They're just south of Durant. Are you going to stay at home, or are you staying somewhere else on the lake during the event?
I'm going to stay at home for practice. And Jared Littner's going to stay at the house, which will be nice, you know, be able to stay at home. And then before the tournament, I'll run over, and I got a buddy of mine that lives over there, and he's got a big man cave, and Jared and I'll go over there and stay. It'll, you know, it's still, the thing about it is the way they have everything set up, you're going to do some driving.
Yeah.
No matter what. So, you know, I might have a 35 minute drive to take off every morning. You know, if we weren't doing it the way it is, I'd put in at Soldier Creek and run to the takeoff.
Right.
We have a trailer, you know?
Right. All right. I'm not going to, I want to make a comparison, but I don't want people to think that it's even remotely close. on the weekends.
Impossible.
Well,
I'm with you.
To set the standard to where they understand that traffic on the lake can influence what is taking place during an event. Hence, the example, obviously, that everybody talks about is Gunnersville. All right. At Texoma, Texoma is an enormous recreational lake.
Remember when Drew was on the show every day?
Yeah.
He was one of the pontoon partiers and would come back with his revelry and stories of the gong show that took place on the weekends on Lake Texoma. Yeah.
Now, you know, plus all the traffic and everything that's taking place during the holiday, is this a tournament that could be influenced by what is taking place on the water, Jeff, that has nothing to do with fishing?
Well, sure. I mean, you, like you're saying, boat traffic, there's a lot of big boats on there, and on the weekends, they like to run around. You know, it's one of those deals. Anybody that's fished a tournament on Texoma has been late to Hawaii, and even when it's calm, because they had no idea the boat traffic was going to be some. And it can matter. You know, I mean, you know, the lake's already so muddy, but you know, after the holiday and all that, I mean, it's going to take the water a while to get back. You know, it'll be pretty chopped up, absolutely. I don't think we'll have the spectator boats and stuff like that we did at Toledo Bend. You were talking about Van Dam. It was so bad, so many boats following Van Dam, that I was fishing in some of the same areas as him, and literally I'd be running down the boat lanes, and I'd see Van Dam coming, and I would have to pull out of the boat lane and wait for 10 minutes for all the knuckleheads to run by.
Wow. Now, did you ever see Dennis Rodman on Texoma?
Yeah, and his big old big cigarette boat.
Yeah.
Wait, whoa, what?
Yeah.
He had a big cigarette boat, man.
Really?
He would go party at Lowe's.
Maybe that's what Drew was doing all those times at Texoma. Yeah.
No, it would. I was actually by the islands one time.
That's when, where he always was.
Yeah.
Does he have spectator boats?
No.
They follow him like Van Damme around.
There would be a boats with him.
Just pontoon boats of women.
Yeah. Jeff, how would you sum up your season so far?
He did not like that question.
He didn't want to. I don't know why it was on hold. Oh, there he's back.
There, sorry, somebody called me.
All right.
Oh, we thought he.
How would I sum up my season?
Yeah.
How would you sum up your season?
I tell you, not so far, not very good. But you know, the deal is you know, I stay with Todd Faircloth and Littner a lot. We share a house, and we were talking about that the other day. There's such a fine line now between a good season and a bad season. You know, I've lost some fish that would have made a big difference. I'm telling you, the day, you know, Van Dam is the best. We all agree that he's the best. But you're never going to see anybody ever dominate like he did. It's never going to happen again. Yeah. The competition is so good now. I mean, look at the points. Nobody's going to make a check in every tournament. I mean, you can. I'm sitting like in 70th in the points right now, but. Literally a good tournament at Texoma and a decent tournament at Cayuga, and I'm in the top 15 in the points. It's just the points are so volatile now because everybody's so good, man. It's really – your last year, Faircloth made the Classic with two tournaments left. He was in 85th place. Defoe was in 80th with like two left. So, I still feel like I'll make the Classic. I need to, or maybe it's time to retire.
Yeah, I was looking at that, and you're like 100 points out of like 25th place, which is nothing with that many tournaments left. On the we're talking about AOI Classic, all that stuff, your buddies with Jeff Sprague,
real good,
who's there. I mean, now you guys used to run, and was he your co-angler in Fish and Chips for a while?
Well, he fished with Gene, but I mean, he goes offshore with me a bunch, and you know, one of his best friends is Jason Ray. We've known each other for a while.
Right.
Sprague's a really good fisherman.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the year that he's having over on FLW. He had a decent rookie year, Now he's leading the whole damn thing.
Yeah, he's solid. He's got really, really good technique. He's a good fisherman, and you know, I think it's all starting to click with him now. I think that. You know, when you first start off and you come out there, he was a good fisherman. But, you know, a lot of times you listen to too much dock talk and, you know, and you get on the phone and guys call. And now I know he's doing his thing. You know, he's not listening to a bunch of stuff. He travels with Jason Reyes. They worked a little bit together, and he's kept it that way. And man, he's a good fisherman. He'll be around for a long time. I mean, he's working at it hard.
Jeff, let me ask you this. You've been doing this game, obviously, a long time. How would you feel that if the whole information thing would just go away and it was just a free-for-all, you could do whatever you want to, would that have – God, man, he didn't like that question either. Someone keeps calling. He'll be back in a minute. All right,
Sorry, dude. That's Jason Reyes calling right there.
That's kind of funny. All right.
As far as the information rule goes, yeah. I'll be honest with you, man. I wish that when they announced a schedule, it was no information, period.
How do you police that, though?
Well, how do you police a month?
That's what Mark was saying. Mark is saying.
Here's the deal. Okay, maybe I'm naive, but when 30 days is up, I'm telling you, I don't talk about any of this stuff. And the guys that I run with do not either. Okay, so if you got a guy that's going to get information within 30 days, he's going to get information within a year. If it was a year off limits.
Yeah.
Well, what Mark is saying,
the guys that are honest, they're not going to break a rule. I'm telling you.
Let me ask you this, though. How do you feel if everything was just opened up and you could do whatever you want? You could do whatever you want to do.
No off limits. Like right up until the day before the tournament, you could do whatever the hell you wanted.
I think it's stupid. I'm going to tell you why. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's pitiful that all these – hey, I'm going to make somebody mad, sorry, and I'm going to make some young
– oh, and he froze up.
Oh, why he is timing it with the Skype. Oh, he's back.
Wait,
hang on.
You went away for a minute, so you need to back up.
All right, now you got me fired up.
Okay, let's go. Let's hear it.
Okay, here's the deal. If you're a professional bass fisherman and that's what you do, and you say, I'm a professional bass fisherman, why should you be calling up local federation anglers and local club guys and getting all the deal, you know, getting all the help, man? I mean, if you want to be a professional fisherman, get out there and show what you got in 3 days of practice. When I first started, that's what we did.
I agree with him, man.
The Potomac River, never heard of it, threw my boat in and fished for 3 days. Guess what? You do that and maybe it doesn't take 82 pounds to make the top 50 cut. I'm just telling you, some of these old young guys that y'all are so proud of aren't quite as good as you think they are.
Hey, don't say y'all, man. Don't throw us in that category. All right, we know what's going on.
I mean, right? I don't solicit much help. Now, I'm not going to lie. For Texoma, all my old team partners still fish the lake. Okay, I used to fish with those guys. Half the stuff they fish is my stuff. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So did I talk to them before 30 days went off? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I went out there and rode around with them. But I can tell you, if you said it's a year off limits, wouldn't make a difference to me.
Yeah.
I don't care. I think any good fisherman, a good fisherman now, doesn't want anybody getting help.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on the deal. I think the fact that everybody gets on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff and gets a bunch of help, I think it sucks, dude.
Should social media be banned when the lake goes off limits?
Yeah. What? I mean, here's the deal. In Major League Fishing, I'm gonna tell you right now. Once they announce, if you know where you're going, you don't even look at Google Maps on your phone to get there. and I'm gonna tell you I think that with some of the current things that have happened, guys are gonna tighten up a little bit. I know last year I got drawn for the random polygraph at Guntersville with bass.
Uh-huh.
And that little random polygraph took about 2 hours.
Wow.
And I can promise you right now, if I had have even played in the gray area on that tournament,
yeah,
I would have been disqualified.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they ask all the questions. It's not like it used to be when you took a lie detector test.
It's like a meet the parents episode.
I mean, it's straight up, did you solicit information for this tournament? Did you get anything within the third? So, you know, I mean, I just like to see us go out and fish, man. If everybody's as good as we all think we are, let's go. Let's show up and go fish. Man.
I agree.
Another opinion of mine is a tournament shouldn't be. We shouldn't practice for 3 days and fish 2 days and cut the top 50. It needs to, if I'm going to practice for 3 days, I need to fish for 3 days. Go 3 days, and then you cut to the top 12. I mean, I think we've gotten away from the things that matter. To me, the most impressive guy on the tour is the guy that is consistently making cuts, not the guy who finishes 89th in one tournament and then wins the next one. And then, I mean, I think consistency ought to be rewarded, not the guy that goes out and catches one 25-pound bag and then catches two keepers a day the rest of the week, you know?
Good point.
Well, I got one more question just as far as the information. It's just, in your opinion, why are the local guys and why are they so eager to help professional anglers? I've seen this from coast to coast because, you know, you travel. I write as a media person and someone will stop at a gas. What is it about the local weekend guy that compels him to give up all the juice that he's worked 20 years to get to a random guy in a wrapped boat? That's always boggled my mind.
I think bragging rights, just to be, I think that, and you know, they're excited about the tournament coming and, you know, it gives them something to, you know, maybe it's a way for them to kind of fish the tournament, you know, even though they're not fishing it, to know that, hey, you know, that guy's fishing my stuff. And, you know, I guess it's bragging rights, you know.
Hey, right. Jeff, I know, back to Texoma, I know there's a situation, and I don't even know what the latest is, at Lake Murray, another lake that you live by with the whole marina situation at Lake Murray. Are any of those situations present at Lake Texoma with any of the marinas?
No, you can fish all of them, man.
Okay.
There'll be a lot of fish caught in marinas. You know that.
Yeah. I just, is the situation still the same at Lake Murray? Is that a constant battle?
Yeah, it is. I mean,
what, they won't let you fish them? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't fish. They have the sign is no cast fishing within 50 feet of any dock or something. And trust me, I've had my go arounds and dock owners, but, you know, that goes back to some lease. It's in the lease when they leased it from the state or whatever. But yeah, you know, they don't own the water, but you know, it's not worth the hassle to go in there really.
All right. I've seen pictures of your offshore boat. What's going on as far as any tournaments offshore? What do you got going on?
Here we go. Now we'll be here another hour. This is what he really wanted to talk about.
I'm fishing. I have two tournaments in July. I've got the Poco Bueno Marlin tournament that I'm going to fish the Texas Legends. I got a new boat, offshore boat that I've had built, and it's finally at my house at the coast, and it's a 37 Freeman with quad 300 Yamahas on it. It's a big one.
Say that again. Let that sink in to the guys out here with the old ZX190s with the 150s on it. So say that again.
Yeah. 37 Freeman with quad. That's four 300 Yamahas on the boat.
How much fuel do you take on that boat?
I carry 650 standard, and then I'll carry maybe 300-gallon bladder tanks.
So you've got almost 1,000 gallons of gas.
Yeah.
And I believe I was talking to one of your deck mates who's going to be that. I don't know if he wants to announce that or anything. But
Jared Miller?
Yeah. Jared Miller. Is he the real man?
He is one of them for sure. Well, Jared's a good. He's a really good guy to have on the boat.
He's pretty much a MacGyver.
I don't let anybody touch a rod in a tournament that doesn't go to the gym and doesn't work out.
Miller hasn't touched a weight in 5 years. He's in good shape. That guy hasn't seen the inside of a gym in 10 years, though.
Yeah, but he's a freak, dude. The guy never quit.
And have you ever seen anything that he can't fix or figure out?
No, he's always welcome on.
Yeah, he's a good. So anyway, so this is throwback to the Scott Suggs FLW days. It's a $1 million derby, isn't it?
It'll pay $1 million. It will.
Wow. Can you tell, what's the entry fee? Can you tell us what the entry fee is?
Well, it sounds better.
Oh, maybe 25,000.
Wow.
Hey, that's like three Elite Series tournaments, isn't it?
Yeah, but a million.
That's
bucks,
like
though.
Three Elite Series tournaments.
Yeah, but the payback's way better.
Yeah.
So how many boats are in this thing?
There's 100 invitations.
How do you get an invitation? I mean, you're a bass guy. Is this like the are you like the Travis Manson of the offshore fleet now? The guy comes over from Walla?
I've been offshore for a long time. I got a 100-ton master captain's license, and I've worked on some of the big sport fishers out there. And
do you have to know someone?
I've been around that for quite a while, you know. But it's a real serious tournament. I'll have a good crew, and then the next one, I think Polinick's going to fish it with me. I need those young guys. Panger, I took you offshore, but you tapped out on a blackfin tuna.
No, I didn't. That's totally not true. That's not true. I almost landed a record class dolphin on a spinning rod.
Now, Jeff, would you ever want to do the wicked tuna thing that they do off of New England?
Sure. You bet.
I think that would be just really, really cool to be able to do that. Do you watch that show?
That and The Deadliest Catch are my two favorites.
Yeah.
Who are you? Who, if you had to, we play this game on the road a lot. If you had to compare yourself to one of the Deadliest Catch captains, like if you had to give a parallel between one of the boats and you as a tournament fisherman, who would you most associate with?
I'd probably be more like a Hillstrand.
That's exactly what I thought. You'd be on the Time Bandit.
Yeah.
Because we thought we've got KVD as the Northwestern.
Oh yeah, he's sick.
Yeah, we got and you're definitely the Time Bandit.
Now, who is your favorite crew on Wicked Tuna?
I like Marciano, Hard Merchandise.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you watched that, Matt?
Oh yeah, all the time. Yeah. I like
he never
how
getting any stuff. You know what I mean? He just does his thing, and mm-hmm. I like that.
No drama, just takes care of business.
Nope. Yeah, I like that.
All right. You know, one of the coolest things on that show, which I had no idea that they did, was the whole airplane thing.
Oh yeah, the harpooning.
Yeah, that is unreal. Dude that's at
that,
the end
that is?
Of that
you know
plank.
What that reminds me of?
What's that?
That's like all the, that's all the people that get so much help before tournaments.
Wow.
You got somebody out there looking for you.
So if I ever see somebody at launch with headsets on and a microphone, we know what's going on, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, geez. All right, man. Expectations, we talk about the condition that the lake is in right now, but I mean, over 4 days, what do you expect to win this thing, Jeff?
I think 15 pounds a day would get you in the top 12 cut, and 15 pounds a day could win. It could take 17 a day, but I don't think it'll take a lot more than that. I mean, the lake's good, but you know, you're also in June now, and you know, the weights of the fish won't be that great. And you know, the lake's a big lake that fishes small.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Could smallmouth come into play at all?
100%. They will come into play.
All right. A lot of people don't realize that how really, really good the smallmouth fishing is at Texoma, but later in the year, the prospectus and what people think is they won't come into play, but the man that knows the lake right there says that they will come into play. Could we see 5 smallmouth being weighed in?
Sure, absolutely. It'll happen probably, but it'll be a deal where somebody will go out and things will line up right, and he'll catch 5 smallmouth for 22 pounds, and he won't weigh another one in the rest of the week.
Yeah, 12 pounds a day make the cut.
For the money cut,
yeah,
cut?
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I would think so.
Okay, all right. Matt, what else?
I mean, I've covered all the bases that I wanted to. With them, we talked about the offshore stuff. We talked about.
Man, you got me fired up. You got me mad.
Dude, I'm with you. 1 year.
Do you
make
still
the
will the new will Boom. The new boat have like the bean bags and the sound system in it? Because see, what happens is you like put the boat in, and then Crete turns on like Godsmack and like Rage Against the Machine, and then you turn it up so loud you can't even hear the engines, and then you like sit back in
for 7 hours.
Yeah, then you sit back in a beanbag chair. Like there's like a, you know, it's like the center deal where the captain stands up, and then he's got these big like beanbag deals, and you just like lay down in the beanbag and just chill for like 2-3 hours. Then you get out there and how often do you get? I mean, have you had the new one out yet?
I'm leaving Friday. I'm going to go and run it.
You're breaking in the quads.
I had the boat shipped to my house down there. I haven't even got to go down there yet. I had to pay a guy a hauler to bring it down because it's so big. You had to permit it and all that. But I'm hoping to go. The weather's just been rotten. It's been real rough out there. But I'm hoping to go and get 25, 30 hours on it. Probably Sunday and Monday, go pull an all-nighter, catch some tuna, try to catch a marlin.
There you go. And I also need to point out, as I was getting ready for this show, it occurred to me that I am a small sum of money out to you 3 years in the making. I wanted to let you know that I had not thought about that until then. We will not say what the wager was on. We'll let that bygone be bygone.
I talked about that the other day.
I am aware.
He owes me $200.
I am aware. Wow. I thought it was $100.
It was $200.
Wow.
I am aware of it, and I just thought maybe that might remind you, and I like my kneecaps, so I should make good on that at Texoma.
Yeah, in a nutshell, I'm not going to list any names. There was a rookie that came on the tour that Panger was very excited about, and I said, not going to happen. And he said, oh yeah, he's going to win rookie of the year. And I said, he won't beat this guy in the points. And he did beat that guy in the points. So he owes me $200.
Very
I was
nice.
Being nasty.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All right, real quick. Hey, Bill in Michigan wants to know, what's the top end of your offshore boat?
Speed-wise?
Yeah.
That'll boat will run 74.
What?
Yeah.
What's your other one ran like, what, 45, 50?
65.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, the deal is the Gulf is so rough, you never run that fast. The reason I've got four engines on it is because I carry a lot of fuel. I might carry 1,200 or 1,400 pounds of ice in one of those tournaments.
1,400
pounds of ice. You know, if I'm running a six-man crew and you do happen to get out there and get in some – you know, big waves, you have to be able to power through. Underpowered is very dangerous in big waves.
What do you let those fish go? You measure them, you tag them, you radio them in. Do you cut them in half and stick them in the ice? What do you do?
In a lot of the tournaments, you have to, on the catch and release tournaments, you catch them, you have to leader them, but you've got to film it all, okay? You've got to have a camera guy on the boat, use a GoPro or your iPhone or whatever, and you radio it in. Release the fish, video the release, radio it in, and then at the end of the tournament, you take in, you give them all your video.
Oh, so it's all
wow,
cool. So is this a catch? This is a catch and release deal?
Poco's not. Poco's a kill tournament.
Is that why you got the ice?
He's got to be 101 inches from the bottom jaw to the inside fork in the tail, which is a, you know, you're talking about, you know, you'll need about a close to a 400 pounder to put a gaff in.
Really? Wow. So you just know how big they are when they come up to the boat? You have the measuring tape on the side? Or I mean, what if you have one that's like 104 inches? You're like, so you're sitting there going, do we gaff it? Do we not?
What you do is when you bring one in and you think he's close, if he's a really big one, you know.
Right.
Okay, you know. But if you think he's close, when you bring him in, you have a wire man, which is like the worst job in the world to have. Life expectancy of a wireman's about about a year. He wraps the line and pulls in. Then I have a like a rope with a tennis ball on the end that's 101 inches, and you'll put the stick in the corner of the fish's mouth, and then because you're in gear, you know, you're idling forward, and then that tennis ball will run back. And you'll see if he's over 101, and if he is, and then you put a big gaff in him.
Wow!
Really? And then what's the fight? Best case scenario, you hook one that's going to put you in the money. What's the length expectancy on the fight?
Oh, anywhere from probably an hour and a half to 7 hours
for one fish.
Wow!
Yeah,
and it's not a. Is it like a multi-day deal? You stay out there for 2-3 days?
Yeah, but if you catch a marlin. A marlin has to be in before midnight. So, You know, like if we run, let's say we run 300 miles one direction, we know that after a certain part in the day that we'll have to quit pulling for Marlin, because if we catch one, we'd never make it back by midnight.
Why do they have to be back by midnight?
That's just the rules on the Marlin. They have to be weighed in the same day they're caught.
Really? But if you catch a, what, if you catch
a tuna or a big wahoo or something like that, you can ice him up.
So it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday deal?
Leave out on Thursday night at 7 p.m. You can start fishing Friday morning, lines in at 7, lines out at 8 o'clock at night, then lines back in at 7 the next morning, lines out. You have to be back at the jetties by like 6 o'clock on Saturday. So I'll spend two nights on the boat.
Really?
I mean, last year it took me 12 hours to make the run out to where I was fishing.
Well, how do you figure that? I mean, are you looking at charts and tides? I mean, how do you figure out where you...
It's just like bass fishing. You look at the altimetry, which are the sea current, the sea, the water pressures, and then you'll look at the current breaks, the chlorophyll, everything.
Now,
you make an educated guess, but it's just like bass fishing. You look at the best quality of water and you go to the... whatever structure is the closest.
Will guys be on top of each other? Will there be like a, what, is someone trying to break in?
Will there be what?
Sorry. Jeff's dogs are going nuts. Will there be a, will there be like a sweet spot where everyone will run 7 hours to the same spot and you'll be like, ah.
It will a little bit, but there's, you know, it's a big place out there.
I didn't know, but there's a lot of big lakes and you got these little boats.
Your strike zone may be about 2 miles.
Really? They'll come from how far away?
Well, they'll come from a long way, but if you've got a rig out there, you might, you know, anywhere with about 2 miles of that's big time. You know, that's all your potential is to get bit around that.
Now, if you're hooked up before 8 o'clock on the first night, you can continue to fight that fish.
You can fight him, but you can fight him, but you still have to be in by midnight.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the night before.
Yeah, like let's say line's out at 8 and you hook up with the fish of a lifetime at 7.
Yeah, you can fight him till after 8. Hey, that's the UPS man bringing me a tackle warehouse. yeah, you can fight him, but like I said, if you hook one at 7 and you're a long way away and it takes 4 hours to fight him, you're probably not making it in.
Okay,
because
you have to be in at midnight each
midnight.
Day. Each day.
No,
only if you have a fish to weigh.
But if you hook one the first night at 7 p.m., you can fight him till 5 in the morning as long as you don't have other lines out.
No, you got to have him in by midnight.
He was hooked that day. He'd have to be in that day.
In by midnight.
Yeah.
So you could have a deal where you've got like a green fish and you're just like, well, we either break him off or we get him in.
Now, we'll quit. If we run a long way, we'll pull the Marlin lures out. And we'll quit fishing for Marlin, whatever, you know, if we think the latest we could do, latest we could catch one is 5 o'clock, you know, to make it in time, we'll pull those in, then we'll fish for tuna or wahoo.
Then you keep the meat, then let's say you catch this is a kill tournament, then you guys all just hack it up and share the bounty, or you like donate it?
Yeah.
Or?
Well, I won the tuna division last year, and, you know, we won the yellowfin tuna division, and, yeah, we ate the heck out of it.
Wow.
Why do they measure to the fork and not the tip? That always bugs the crap out of me.
IGFA rules. I mean, there's a lot of rules, you know. You can't exceed 130-pound test. So, you know, I use all high seas line. And, you know, I have to – the line I use is only 80-pound monofilament, but it breaks at like 120. So you can't just – you have to be very, very – careful on everything. You know, I use 80-pound braided backing, but 80-pound braid will break like at 82 pounds.
Huh. Is there off limits? Is there information? Is there 30-day off limits for the Pocos?
No, they're not. There's not.
All right, that was all my questions.
That's funny.
That was all my offshore questions.
Hey, last question, and then we'll let you go, Jeff. The video that you guys shoot, do you get to keep that video?
Yeah.
I would really, when you do this in July, I would like to get an opportunity to get some of that video.
We'll have Miller and Jeff come in.
Yeah, and have you come in and actually talk about this offshore tournament. All right.
Yeah, I'll run 6 GoPros during the tournament, so I'll
Hey, have, you need I'll someone to run those GoPros.
You know what?
For
I'll look like Poluniak and Carl's boat. You know how they got GoPros all over the place.
Yeah. All right, cool stuff, Jeff. Hey, I will see you at Texoma. I'm actually going to come down there for a couple days.
You better be pulling for me, dude. I hadn't won in 82 years. I haven't won a tournament.
Dude, I'm all about the HFA guy, and you're it, all right? You're it. You're the guy. You're the man, all right? I'm pulling for you.
The last one I won was on Texoma.
I know. Now, that wasn't the one where you sat in the boat dock and sat there and doodle-socked in the boat dock. Do you remember that?
That was Lake Travis.
Okay. I couldn't remember. Yeah. All right. That was pretty cool, though, what he did, man. Yeah. I don't know if you remember
that. He did what in the boat dock?
Doodle sock, man.
I don't know if I want to be around Jeff Crete while he's doodle socking, I'll be honest with you.
That was a cool win.
Like 140 foot of water in that tournament.
Yeah. Wow. That was a cool, cool tournament. All right, man. Good luck to you. I'll see you in a couple weeks, man. Thanks for being on,
Jeff.
All right, man. Enjoyed it.
All right, man. There you go. All right. There you have it, folks. Jeff Crete. Very, very cool stuff with the offshore talk there.
Yeah. I mean, that's what his passion is now.
Yeah.
It takes, like, after you pull the boat out, you strap it down, you unplug, you hook the boat up. Well, some guys wipe it down. It's like, what, 10, 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Put it in the garage. You get done fishing offshore down there.
Yeah.
It's like a 4-hour process.
Yeah.
Like, if you get off at 8, you'll be done around midnight.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of work. Yeah. And he's right about the guys being in shape.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some of those guys.
Yep. Hmm.
People want to know what a doodle sock is.
I don't. Yeah.
Don't know? Mm-mm. It's just, it's drop shotting vertical down.
Why didn't that's you just say old, vertical drop shotting?
Because
doodle socking?
Yeah, a long, long time ago, that's what they called it. You're doodle socking a worm.
Okay.
So there you have it.
There we go.
All right. We're going to be back on Thursday. We'll come back, have another show on Thursday, and get ready for Texoma. I know the holiday's coming up. One thing I did want to mention, the buzz about this whole Bass Pro Shops Cabela's merger might take place. There was a retailer, and I don't know how much you know about this. Have you ever heard of Sports Authority?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going out of business, and there's a big rumor now. They've already filed bankruptcy. Big rumor now is that Dick's is actually going to occupy some of the Sports Authority stores. But I was in Dick's Sporting Goods over the weekend. I had to get some basketball stuff. Their fishing section is tiny.
Yeah, but they've got good stuff.
It is just there's.
It's weird. They carry Mega Bass. They carry Kitech. They carry Missile. They carry some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
They carry Lucky Craft. I agree that it's an interesting selection, but they carry the right stuff.
Yeah, and some of that, like the one thing that they had Kitech,
The Fat Swing Impact 3.8 inches.
Yeah,
and
they were
Easy
on
Shiners.
Sale. They were like buy one get one free
you
or something like
kidding
that.
Me.
Yeah,
I love those. Creed loves those things.
Yeah, only for the weekend though. It went off.
Tons
so
of guys
late.
Use those things.
You're late. So interesting aspect on how the whole retail deal is going on. With the potential merger and now with the discussion of Dick's Sporting Goods actually taking over. You know, Sports Authority, Colorado company based out of Colorado. The other thing that I want to mention to you, Matt, I was at Lake Tenkiller this past week.
Right.
We pull into the ramp at Chicken Creek. It is loaded. There's probably about, and this is on a Tuesday, okay? There's probably 40
holy cow
trailers in Chicken Creek on a Tuesday. That never happens. And then we started looking, they all had Colorado plates. The Federation from Colorado
had a qualifier,
had their qualifier at Lake Tenco.
That makes no sense.
Well, I got a chance to talk to a couple of guys, and a couple of the guys in the Colorado Federation had Oklahoma ties. They were from Oklahoma and had been relocated to Denver and lived in Denver.
So they got everyone. They got that Kansas goes down to Grand, which isn't a stretch, but yeah. I know certain guys have their Bass Nation qualifiers.
Yeah.
There is no federation.
No. I'm still old school. I'm dating myself once again. But yeah, they were having their qualifier at Lake Tenkiller.
Cool. Still don't know where the national championship is.
Never seen that lake as muddy as it is. All right, one of the best lakes in the Midwest, kind of lower Midwest, to go diving on. Dude, you couldn't see your hand at 3 feet. That's how dirty it is down by the dam. I mean, they have dive shops all over the place there. It's just
we didn't get a chance to go gar fishing out there this year.
No, but every time I go past that point, where you snag that thing. I always think about it. I tell everybody that I'm with. Yeah, right over there. That's where...
Where the 60-pound gar.
Where the nature boy went to battle with the alligator gar.
That was the coolest thing ever. They were actually... I was up at Grand this weekend, and they were actually doing the same thing, rolling.
Were they that big?
Were
they as big?
It was muddy that you couldn't really see. Yeah. You just see their gar tails come out of the water.
How dirty was Grant?
It was dirty. It was dirty. I mean, there was good color in the back half of horse and duck and stuff, but it was like a weird gray brown color. The rest of the lake, the whole main lake was pretty muddy, and up the rivers there was a lot of mud. Yeah. That's all I have to say about that. It sucked for me. So.
All right, so we're going to come back on Thursday, folks.
Yeah, we're going to try to get Drew in the studio on Thursday. I talked to Drew. So here's the deal. Like a month ago, Drew texted me, and he's like, hey, I got a derby on Grand next month. Where's that spot you were telling me?
What, in his ski boat?
No, he fishes. What is it, trolling tournament? He's like, okay. Can you hook me up with a couple of those spots? You've caught them on this time of year. Not waypoints or anything. And I just said, yeah, here, check these out. Well, then it occurs to me, well, I'm fishing in the same tournament.
So was he up there this weekend?
Yeah, except he figured him out. They were like fourth or fifth out of the money. And I'm sitting there going, well, I gave him all my juice. But I didn't see him there. And the reason was there were no fish there. It's been a while since I've been that lost on the lake.
What was the water level? 740?
744.
So they were up in the willows.
Yeah, I thought, yeah. I mean, it's been a while since I've been that lost on that lake. I literally enjoying my time.
It happens.
I was glad to get the day over with.
All right, so we're gonna try and get Drew in studio, mm-hmm. and then we'll have a guest on Thursday, and get ready for the holiday weekend, the weekend that I stay away.
Mm-hmm.
Might get a camera and go to the boat ramp and get some good comedy. We'll talk to Drew about that, because you know Drew will be on the lake with his
pontoon
fine effort of party barging.
He is a party barger.
All right. So back on Thursday, want to thank Jeff Creek for giving some insight on what's going down at Texoma and his opinion on several things in the bass fishing world. So cool stuff. Thank you, Jeff. We will talk to everybody on Thursday.